A group of people met recently in Reading to begin talking over services and remedies for teen homelessness in the city. Services are available for homeless people, but they tend to focus on adults and on families with children. Teens can find themselves couch surfing or sleeping outdoors with a limited number of options for places to go. The new committee, task force, whatever you like to call it, will explore new options. Aaron Hayes is one of the members of that group. He's the executive director of Catalyst Mentoring in Reading. Aaron, welcome to The Exchange.
Thanks for having me.
And we also have with us Hannah Forge, who spent some time homeless herself in her teen years. Hannah, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi, thank you for having me.
It's good to have you here. Aaron, let's start with you. Give us a sense of what the Catalyst Mentoring is all about.
Yeah, Catalyst Mentoring is a group that formed about a year ago, and we have a mission to recruit, train, and place 1,000 new mentors into our community in the next 3 years. So we work with about 25 different mentoring organizations to make it easy for the people of our community to really help our young people who need it most.
Is it specifically geared to homelessness or just in general helping younger people?
In general, it's helping young people. You know, in our community, there's about 6,000 kids that are growing up and experiencing pretty extreme poverty. And so we really try and focus on helping kids in schools that are experiencing homelessness or who are in foster care. And so we try and target young people that need the most help.
And do you have ideas? I mean, does anybody have a good count, a good fix on how many people in Reading or in Shasta County more broadly are teen and homeless at the same time?
Well, you know, this is one of the numbers that's very challenging to find. I did reach out to my friend Allison Harris from the Shasta County Office of Education, and their numbers on the 2015-16 school year were that there was over 590 youth that were doubled up, meaning they're couch surfing, or, you know, for whatever reason, they're living in someone else's house and doubled up in a bedroom. There's 88 kids that were living in a motel or hotel, 96 that were living in a temporary shelter, and 14 that were unsheltered. But, you know, those numbers can be a bit deceiving because, as you'll hear from Hannah, who has experienced homelessness, a lot of times the kids who are experiencing homelessness don't report it. They don't want to end up in the system. They don't want to end up in foster care. And so many times they don't share what's going on in their life. And so those numbers are a little bit misleading because there's many young people who don't share what's happening on that level in their life.
And it is a self-reported kind of thing. You're not going to register or anything like that.
Right. And in the case of me, I was working as an at-risk teacher for a number of years in our local school district. I was working with high school students, and many times you would just never know. Some of our most high-achieving kids were kids who were living in a car, and you wouldn't know it until you really had built a solid relationship with them.
Hannah Forge, let's hear from you. What were the circumstances that led you to be homeless, and what age were you?
I was about the age of 15, and it was a case of my parents are divorced, and so my dad moved to North Carolina for a better job, which I encouraged him to do. And my mom lost her house, and the person we were renting from, all of a sudden the state found out that the house we were in wasn't papered. And so sitting in Reading was like, okay, well, you got to get out. And so we were fortunate enough that my grandparents were able to let us stay in their property, but it was a really bad winter where it pretty much never stopped raining. And me and my mom were out in a tent. And it wasn't until the near end of the winter I ended up getting pretty sick from just being out in the cold and the rain. And so I ended up sleeping on my cousin's floor, where I had a twin-size mattress and a dresser. And all of my stuff had to be condensed down to fit under the bed because there was no room for anything else. And so I pretty much had to pick and choose what was most important to me. And the rest of it we put under tarps outside because we didn't have enough money for a storage unit. And we ended up losing 99% of our stuff because of that.
So at 15 years old, you're what, a sophomore in high school at the time?
Yeah, I was about a sophomore in high school.
So how did you do in school? I mean, this is a rough winter outside in a tent when it's raining all the time. I mean, were you able to keep up with your studies, or did those fall away given the just the basic survival concerns?
I was able to do pretty well because I went to Academy of Personal Learning, where I only had to go 2 days a week. And so I was fortunate enough that the school was willing to work with me on if I couldn't make it to school or something. It was no problem. We'll send you your work. It's okay. You won't fall behind. And so I was really lucky in the case that I didn't fall behind. I still upheld a little bit above a 3.0.
Wow.
But that was pretty much based on because I had a school so forgiving.
Oh, that's amazing. You're able to do that well with it, maintain a B average. Where, did you and your mother go looking for services during that time, Hannah? I mean, did you scope out what was available to you in terms of shelters or things like that?
We did, and a lot of what we found was not the most ideal condition for a 15-year-old girl. And so we did opt to just, our best bet was just to stay in the tent on my grandparents' property because they did help supply us with food for dinner and stuff. And so it was our best bet. And my mom ended up going into the CalWORKS STEP program where she took the classes, and she did end up getting a job about, I think it was a year later.
Wow, so it took that long. We're talking to Hannah Forge, who was homeless as a teen. Certainly, you heard the details. You're living in a tent for most of a year, and then couch surfing on her cousin's floor. We're talking about homelessness in Reading and a new approach to that. Aaron Hayes, who's the executive director at Catalyst Mentoring, is part of that committee. You can join the conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760 or send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. So I understand Kristen Schrader, the vice mayor in Reading, although not as one of her city duties, assembled this team to examine possible moves. Have you met more than once so far, Aaron?
We've met one time. We have our next meeting coming up here at the end of October. We're kind of forming a core team right now of people who are passionate about this issue and people who have services potentially to bring to the table. You know, we've discovered that a lot of young people don't know what services are available. So, you know, we're working right now to figure out how we can improve understanding the situation that our young people are facing and the extent that our at-risk and homeless youth population need services, as well as just identifying gaps in services.
When we talk about services, I mean, is it sort of an issue of getting into an in-between zone where there are services for families with younger children and there are services for adults, but the teens are the issue?
So, yeah, I mean, there's families that are facing homelessness, but there's also unaccompanied youth. There's young people who don't have necessarily an adult that they're with at the time. And that's one of the biggest gaps because those are the young people who are the least likely to go after services or ask for help. It doesn't mean they necessarily just stop going to school. A lot of times they still go to school because that's their most consistent place where they would get food or the help that they need. They might just not announce it out loud that they're homeless because they don't want to get put into the system. And so one of our goals is to begin to identify how can we create safe places for those young people to get access to services that could help them so that they can have an opportunity to get back on their feet.
There are bits of legislation out there. The federal McKinney-Vento law, I know that certainly allows students in families that are homeless to continue to attend their school. Does McKinney-Vento just sort of stop, though, at that issue? Does it not provide anything that is useful to teens?
So I'm not an expert on McKinney-Vento, so I should just say that up front.
Sure.
I do know that our schools are very compassionate for our young people that are going through those situations. As a former teacher working in an alternative ed setting, I know that we went to great lengths for our young people to feel safe, for our young people to have their basic needs met, food and shelter, I had a refrigerator in my classroom when I was teaching because we had so many kids that were dealing with these types of issues. So when they would come in, I'd give them a water bottle and I'd give them a snack because you can't even learn. I mean, a lot of people just assume that you're homeless by choice when a lot of times it puts you into a crazy cycle where you know, you're focused on survival and we're asking you in the educational world to learn and self-actualize, become all that you can become, when that's really secondary to survival. And so our schools do a very good job of really trying to help those kids when they know what's happening. A lot of times that's the make or break, is it's, you can't do something about something you don't know about. And so I think that will be one of the things that as our group moves forward, this Youth Homelessness Coalition, that we'll try and do is break down some of those barriers with young people so that they feel more open to share about their situation so that our schools can help them.
I should point out that the original group gathered by Kristen Schrader, the vice mayor of Reading, was you, Aaron Hayes, Lynn Doro, the CEO of Hill Country Community Clinic based in Round Mountain, and photographer Nigel Skeet, who puts up a website called Homeless Rock Stars. That's an interesting project.
Oh, Nigel's doing some great work. Yeah, he gathers young people experiencing homelessness at these events, and he really, his goal is just to give these kids an infusion of hope and help them to find purpose and value in themselves so that they can get back on their feet. Nigel's a rock star. He's really a powerful, positive person for our city.
So that's an interesting thing, though. I mean, people who are willing to be photographed versus the people you were just talking about who don't particularly want to acknowledge their situation. I mean, that must get to be an interesting place to be, to try to get people to admit the situation that they're in and then get them some services, get them some help.
Yeah, I think it's about options. I think people live into the story that they've heard before and people live into the story that they've seen. So until they see that there's other options out there, that there's other stories they can live, they just kind of get stuck repeating the stories that are in front of them. And, you know, I think the powerful thing about like what Nigel's doing is he's saying just because you're homeless or you're situationally homeless, that doesn't mean that you have to stay there. You still have gifts and talents and skills, and let's help you find those and put those on display. And then with Catalyst Mentoring, you know, it's the same thing, but on a mentoring level, you know, there's so much power in a significant relationship. Like a positive adult in a young person's life can literally shift the trajectory of their life so that they can go from being alone in this tragedy of being homeless to having a real champion in their life to help them get connected to the help that they need to get back on their feet.
We're talking about efforts to address teen homelessness in Reading. Aaron Hayes is the executive director of Catalyst Mentoring. We have Hannah Forge, who was formerly homeless herself, on the line. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Hannah, I'm going to guess it helped that you at least were on your grandparents' property. You had your mother nearby, and then when that living situation with the tent in the rain got to be too much, you got to crash on your cousin's floor. So you had family around, but when you consider what you went through and what other people go through, what would be the first step you think should happen? What's the first thing people should address?
Yeah, I was very fortunate. I had family. There's a lot of kids out there who don't. The first thing that should be addressed is just putting out there that it's okay, that this isn't normal, because I never mentioned to anyone about the situation I was living in, because I've always qualified for free or reduced lunch. I've always had those things there. And so when this happened, it was just another bump in the road. It wasn't that, like, when I was in that situation, I didn't see it as anything that was that big of a deal. And as I look back, I realized it was.
And how did you keep going? I mean, I'm just curious to know what kinds of things you had to tell yourself day by day to get through some of those days.
My biggest thing that no matter what has happened in my life that kept me going was the fact that I had people encouraging me that I can do something great with my life, and I started planning for the future. Around that time, I finally decided I want to go into law enforcement. I wanted to get a BA in criminal justice, a BA in psychology, and be fluent in sign language and Spanish by the time I'm 21. And so that was my goal, and that goal has always kept me going. But a lot of kids can't see that goal. There's one school in particular that's amazing, and it's CHIBA, the California Heritage Youth Build Academy. Mm-hmm. And it's actually the place my mom works. It's the place she ended up getting a job, and the kids there are absolutely amazing. There's quite a few of them there that were in my, or are in the situation I was in. And the entire school is so supportive. They do everything they can to help the kids. There's always food there. And they give transportation. But if you go to a bigger school, you don't have that. And so I think the first step would be just to let kids know that's not normal. If that's the situation you're in, it's just not normal. You really should have a roof over your head.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then getting them to admit that, okay, this isn't normal. Okay, we need help. Okay, now where do we go from here?
That goes back a little bit to the story idea that I was sharing is, if your whole experience is that living life in a tent year-round is normal, then that's just normal. You're not gonna highlight yourself as homeless. But, you know, the impact in our community of people growing up in poverty, people experiencing homelessness, you know, it's having a major, all those childhood traumatic experiences that you may not see as traumatic because it's normalized for you, you know, it's having a long-term effect on our community. Like in Shasta County, you know, life expectancy is actually a couple years less than the rest of the nation because of the prevalency of people having these type of early childhood traumatic experiences. And so I think opening the dialogue, amazing young people like Hannah, who is just such a champion, getting some of those conversations started are going to be really powerful for our community.
Aaron Hayes is the executive director of Catalyst Mentoring in Redding. Hannah Forge is a formerly homeless teen. We're talking about this effort that Aaron is part of to try to bring people together, create more services for homeless teens, and maybe prevent teen homelessness. You can join the conversation in the 4 minutes we have left. If you haven't been on this week, 800-838-3760 by phone. Emails go to jx@jeffnet.org. The idea of preventing homelessness, I noted that that's something that that Kristen Schrader talked about when she assembled the group in the first place. Can it be prevented? I mean, and more to the point that you just made, I mean, are we getting into a cycle where people sort of think it's going to happen at some point in their lives?
I don't know that, I mean, this is a personal opinion of mine, so I can't speak for Kristen. I don't know that it can be prevented. I think that life happens and we can't stop like those traumatic experiences from happening. You never know when something terrible is going to happen and you're homeless because of circumstance or you're homeless because of the loss of a job. We can't prevent those things from happening. You know, one of my passions with Catalyst Mentoring is knowing that we can't prevent it doesn't mean that we can't infuse our young people with resiliency. And this is why I'm so passionate about mentors, is young people who have a healthy, positive adult in their life that can encourage them and put hope into them, can literally give them the fuel that they need so that they can have resiliency when the hard things in life happen, so that they can have that bounce back. Resiliency is like a rubber band. When that rubber band gets stretched and stretched and stretched, it could get to the point where it just breaks. And I think a lot of our young people are like that rubber band. They've been stretched so much, they don't have any elasticity left. But a mentor comes in and puts courage and hope so that when hard times come, those kids have something to bounce back to. They have a different option other than just giving up or losing hope.
All right. So, yeah, when Hannah was mentioning that that there were people who cared about her, it was right in your wheelhouse. It's the kind of thing you're talking about with mentoring.
100%. And, you know, our schools are such a powerful force for that. But our school's primary goal is to educate. And, you know, when it comes to these real human needs that are connected to homelessness and youth, our teachers have a huge task because it's very challenging to educate someone who's in survival mode. And so this is where I think the community gets to rise up, and we get to partner with the educational system. We get to partner with schools where the people in our community who are frustrated with the cycles of crime and homelessness and drug abuse, you can make a difference. You can show up in the life of a young person, and what research shows is an hour a week with a young person significantly impacts their decision-making ability. So that helps them when real rubber meets the road moments happen where they might be experiencing something like homelessness or dealing with drug abuse. It helps them to give them the reserves that they need to make a good decision.
And Hannah Forge, in a bad situation at age 15, living in a tent in the rain on your grandparents' property with your mother, what's your living situation now, and how far have you gotten toward those goals you listed by age 21?
My living situation now is I am still living with my grandparents, but my cousin has moved down south, so I do have my own room. And my dad has actually moved back to Reading. And so because my parents are divorced, I'm going back and forth every 2 weeks. But I do have a stable living situation in both homes.
Good. And what's the status of all those goals you listed, things you wanted to learn by age 21?
I am currently 17, and I am doing the College Connections program with Shasta College. So I'm finishing my senior year out at the college. I've already been working on two of the classes I need for my majors, which is Intro into Administration and Justice and Public Speaking. And I'm hoping to be done with Shasta College in a year and a half, then I'll be going to Chico State.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us to share your story with us. Hannah Forge was homeless several years ago as a teenager. Aaron Hayes is the executive director of Catalyst Mentoring, part of a new organization or a new group forming in Reading to deal with teen homelessness. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you so much for having us.